We have sought to meditate on Christ's passion, to identify with Christ's passion, especially those trying moments of this week and of his life. It is the events of this week, particularly his crucifixion and his resurrection, that are the foundation of our faith. And the services of this week and the hymns of this week seek to explore in great depth the various themes of Christ's passion. We have heard quite a lot of reflection on Christ's passion. The hymns seek to unpack the various layers of meaning that are there. We've been reminded of the treachery of Judas, and in so doing, we are reminded of ourselves and our own treachery, our own forms of betrayal, how we have betrayed the Lord. Judas's betrayal is contrasted with the tears of the sinful woman who anointed Christ's feet with her tears and the precious ointment and wiped them with her hair, an act of devotion and utter love that she pours out her life before Christ. We have read all the accounts of Christ's passion in all four Gospels. We have heard how Christ has come as the fulfillment of prophecy, and throughout this week, we've heard those Old Testament prophecies read once again and reminding us how Christ comes as the fulfillment of those things, how Christ is the Lamb of God, how Christ is led as a sheep to slaughter. We've considered ironic concepts this week, how the blameless one, the sinless one, is surrendered to be crucified amongst criminals, amongst the transgressors. We've considered how Christ at once is the Lamb who is slain for the salvation of the world, and at the same time, he is the shepherd gathering the lost sheep. And through his unifying act of sacrifice on the cross, he does this. We've considered the nature of redemption, how Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, how Christ has freed us from the tyranny of the devil, how Christ has set us free from the power of sin and death. We've even considered the nature of the redemption of creation itself and the irony that is there as creation beholds and watches its creator being crucified. And the hymns give voice and action to the inanimate objects of creation. What must creation do in the face of such a horrific thing to see the creator crucified? Well, the earth must quake. That's the only response that the earth can offer. And the sun must hide its rays from such an awesome event. And so the earth grows dark as the sun hides itself. We've even begun to contemplate the reality of Christ's triumph, how through death he defeated death. All the hymns this morning are talking about how Christ was swallowed up in death in Hades. And what happens when Christ, the immortal one, life immortal, life itself is swallowed up in death? Death itself dies. We've considered how Hades has been emptied and the gates of Hades have fallen down before the presence of Christ, who is the Lord of life. We have said many things. We have heard many things. Have we said everything that could possibly be said? Perhaps not. But certainly we have said what is essential. And after all that has been said this week, should rightly be questioned. In a time like this, in moments like this, after we've said so much, what more is there to say? Perhaps in times like this, there is nothing to say because it has been said. And thus, I think the church leads us to this point on this day to remind us of a truth, that ultimately, as we say what we can say and we endeavor to understand these things and put words to things that are indescribable, we've endeavored to do that, but we recognize that those are always limited and they only bring us to this point where we can say nothing, where the only appropriate response is silence, to keep silent awe before the Lord in adoration, in love, pouring out just simply, existing before him in that silent adoration. Thus it is today we sing a special hymn that is sung only today, reminding us of this truth and this reality. It replaces the cherubic hymn that we sing in just about every liturgy that has ever served. But today, it's replaced with this hymn. Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and in fear and trembling stand, pondering nothing earthly minded, for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes forth to be slain and given as food to the faithful. It is an awesome reality, what we have beheld, what we are beholding, what we have the opportunity to behold as believers and followers of Christ. And it is in awe, in adoration, in fear, in trembling, in wonder and worship that we should stand in silence. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes to be slain and given as heavenly food for the faithful. So let us stand in silence, in awe and adoration before the Lord of Glory. For before him go the ranks of angels with principalities and powers. And we too likewise stand before him in our silent wonder, worshiping the Lord of Hosts. We have said what we must. Now let us stand in that silent awe of the King of Glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.